MSW Media. Thanks to Delete Me for supporting the show. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Get 20% off your first Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/dailybeans and use promo code dailybeans at checkout. News with Hello and welcome to the Daily Beans for Friday, April 5th, 2024. Today, Judge Eileen Cannon has denied Trump's motion to dismiss based on the Presidential Records Act. Judge McAfee has denied Donald Trump's motion to dismiss based on First Amendment grounds. Judge Merchan has denied Trump's motion to dismiss based on presidential immunity. Nebraska legislators block a late effort to change how they allocate electors. The Biden administration has issued a new rule making it harder to fire federal civil servants. The Disbarment Committee has found that Jeff Clark violated the rules and should face sanctions up to it, including disbarment. The New York Attorney General is contesting Trump's $175 million bond, saying that the backer doesn't have the money, and the judge has scheduled an April 22nd hearing. The No Labels Party has abandoned its 2024 presidential bid. Congressman Gosar and Congressman Biggs have been subpoenaed in the Arizona fraudulent electors investigation. RFK Jr.'s campaign is calling the January 6th insurrectionists activists. A judge has scheduled the Smartmatic defamation trial against Newsmax for this September. Gabrielle Hansen is now seeking an open city manager position after losing a mayoral race for hanging out with white nationalists. And the New York Attorney General has asked the court for an investigation into whether Trump and Weisselberg withheld evidence. I'm Allison Gill.
And I'm Dana Goldberg.
Okay, that's got to be a record, Dana.
AG, that was amazing. And you did it in one foul swoop. No edits. She didn't mess up one word. That was beautiful, was incredible, and very impressed.
I didn't think I'd be able to do the introduction in one take today. Before we hit record, I was like, all right, let's see if I can get through this.
Nailed it.
This reminds me of the times when I used to bet people a shot at the bar that I could sing the entire second verse of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine by R.E.M. without taking a breath. That's what
that
reminded me of. That was just an entire, new version of We Didn't Start the Fire in that introduction. All right, it's Friday. That means it's Fuglesang Friday. So I'll be talking with our friend John Fuglesang later in the show. Also, today, tickets go on sale to the public for six more shows for the Daily Beans Live Allison Gill and Friends tour. I'm calling it the FAFO, the Fuck Around and Find Out tour.
Love it.
You could get them all at allisongill.com. It may take a few hours. I think maybe it'll go up at noon Eastern time or Pacific time. Those links will be available, but they'll be available by the end of the day at allisongill.com. All right. As you can tell, we have a lot of news to get to. But first, we have some quick hits.
And to make a long story short,
too late.
All right. First up, Judge Eileen Cannon has denied Donald Trump's motion to dismiss based on the Presidential Records Act. And while it seems like a win, she's left us with more questions than answers. And she has left the door open for her to still use her weird jury instructions based on her misinterpretation of the Presidential Records Act after Double Jeopardy attaches. And she's given Jack Smith no grounds to go to the 11th Circuit to ask for her recusal. Andy and I will be explaining it all on this weekend's episode of the Jack Podcast.
Ooh, thank you very much. And another judge, Judge McAfee, this time in Fulton County, has also rejected Donald's motion to dismiss based on First Amendment grounds, reminding Donald that speeches, furtherance of a crime, is not protected by the Constitution. Allison, you and Pete Strzok, you're going to cover that also on next week's cleanup on aisle 45. So there's a lot happening on your other podcasts.
Yes. And if two denials weren't enough, we have Judge Merchan denying Trump's motion to dismiss based on presidential immunity. Jury selection begins for that election interference hush money trial starting on April 15th.
Cannot wait. And the Disbarment Committee has ruled that Donald's attorney and former DOJ official Jeff Clark has violated at least one of the rules of professional conduct. Definitely at least one. And the Bar Disciplinary Council is now arguing that the committee should recommend he be disbarred. This is different, by the way, from the California judge that has recommended another Donald Trump lawyer, John Eastman, be disbarred in California. And we're waiting on a final ruling from the California Supreme Court. So lesson here, if you're one of Trump's lawyers, chances are you're going to get disbarred.
Yes. What did we say? Mar-a-Lago is a magical place where people enter as attorneys and leave as witnesses. The New York Attorney General Tish James is objecting to Trump's $175 million bond, questioning whether the king of subprime used car loans, Mr. Hanke, has enough money to secure the bond. The bond was initially rejected by the court when Knight Insurance failed to attach its financial statements. And then when it did submit them, Tish James told the court she wants their ability to back the bond reviewed by the court. And Judge Engoron has set a hearing for the matter on April 22nd.
And the No Labels Party, it is abandoning efforts to create a unity ticket aiming to win the White House. That's according to people familiar with the plans. Nancy Jacobson, No Labels' founder and CEO, told Allies, not sure who those people are, this week that the group would announce Monday that it won't pursue a presidential campaign this year because it hasn't been able to recruit a credible ticket that could win the election. That doesn't stop the Republican Party, so I'm not sure why they bowed out.
No, it doesn't really stop anybody else. Also, Arizona investigators probing Republicans' efforts to overturn the 2020 election results in that state have subpoenaed two members of Congress who were among Donald Trump's closest Capitol Hill allies in the scheme. The subpoenas to Representatives Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar, which have not previously been reported, ordered the two Arizona Republicans to testify before a grand jury. Pete and I are going to cover this on Cleanup on L45 next week. And just a reminder, Merrick Garland seized Rep. Scott Perry's phone in 2022 for the feds before Jack Smith was ever appointed. And he just got the contents of those phones a few months ago after a long court battle over the speech or debate clause. So don't expect immediate results here.
All right. Thanks, AG. This one's from Phil Williams at News Channel 5 in Nashville. Former Franklin Alderman Gabrielle Hansen. She sent Millersville commissioners an email Wednesday evening applying for the town's open city manager position. Hansen, who lost her bid for Franklin mayor last year after a series of controversies that included her ties to white supremacists, said her interest in the city manager position began after a recent trip to help relocate an industrial real estate client to Millersville. So she wants back in on this, and I'm sure it's sketchy AF.
Yeah, so everybody, you can read that whole story at News Channel 5. Just go follow Phil Williams on Twitter. And he'll be joining us in Nashville, by the way, for the live Daily Beans. Also, finally, New York Attorney General Tish James has asked the court to have the fiscal monitor, Barbara Jones, investigate whether Donald and Alan Weisselberg withheld evidence in her civil fraud trial based on Weisselberg's guilty plea on two counts of perjury. Again, Pete and I are going to go over that on Cleanup on L45 next week. Mary Trump must be having kind of a fun day.
Yeah, I sure hope so. She deserves some fun days because it's been a hell of a ride.
Yes, absolutely. All right, with quick hits out of the way, we have some hot notes. Hot notes. All right, this is from Ben Camazar and Bridget Bowman at NBC. Nebraska legislators on Wednesday night blocked a late effort to change how that state allocates its electoral college votes, despite public pressure from President Donald Trump to shift to a winner-take-all system that would likely benefit him in the fall. The measure fell short 8-36 in a procedural vote. Now, while it's possible supporters could take another stab at advancing the proposal, there remain serious hurdles as the legislative session draws to a close, and it's unclear whether the proposal has enough support to get across the finish line and become law. It's pretty clear to me, though, 8-36 is pretty bad. Yeah. Nebraska currently doles out 3 of its 5 electoral votes to the presidential candidate who wins each of its 3 congressional districts. In practice, that puts the competitive second district in the Omaha area in play, even though Republicans typically win the whole state pretty easily. Now, Wednesday night's failed attempt to change the law to award all of the state's college electors to the statewide winner leaves the fate of the proposal in doubt, with just a few days left in the legislative session. State Senator Lauren Lippincott, who introduced the original winner-take-all bill, told the Nebraska Examiner that he'd make one final attempt to bring the measure up for a vote before the session ends April 18th. However, it is unclear whether there's enough support for the change to move forward. I don't think there's any. Lawmakers have repeatedly tried to change the state's electoral college allocation, failing narrowly in 2016. Lippincott introduced the latest legislative proposal last year, and it received very little attention until this week, when GOP personality Charlie Kirk raised the issue on his podcast. On Tuesday, Trump and Nebraska GOP Governor Jim Pillen called on state legislators to take steps that would implement a winner-take-all system. Less than 24 hours later, the legislation, which had once seemed to be all but forgotten, came roaring back to life. Some blasted the effort to revive the bill, accused Republicans of taking orders from Trump and conservative activists, and hurled insults at Trump and Charlie Kirk. Others said Republicans were playing politics at the last minute near the end of a legislative session. Nebraska is one of only two states, Dana, that doesn't award all of its Electoral College votes to the statewide winner, a method it adopted ahead of the 1992 presidential election. Since then, the state's Omaha area district has awarded its vote to a candidate other than the statewide winner just two times, to Barack Obama in 2008 and to Joe Biden in 2020.
Thanks so much for that story, AG. This is from Will Weisert at the Associated Press. The government's chief human resources agency had issued a new ruling on Thursday, making it harder to fire thousands of federal employees hoping to head off former President Donald Trump's promises to radically remake the workforce along ideological lines if he wins back the White House in November. The Office of Personnel Management Regulations will bar career civil servants from being reclassified as political appointees or as other at-will workers who are more easily dismissed from their jobs. It comes in response to Schedule F. That's an executive order Trump issued in 2020 that sought to allow for declassifying tens of thousands of 2.2 million federal employees and thus reduce their job security protections. President Joe Biden nullified Schedule F because he's an amazing president upon taking office. But if Trump were to revive it during a second administration, he could dramatically increase the around 4,000 federal employees who are considered political appointees and typically change with each new president, which is a mess. The potential effects of the change, they're wide-reaching, since how many federal employees might have been affected by Schedule F is unclear. The National Treasury Employee Union, they used Freedom of Information requests to obtain documents suggesting that workers like office managers and specialists in human resources and cybersecurity, they might have been among those subject to reclassification. The new rules move to counter a future Schedule F order by spelling out procedural requirements for reclassifying federal employees and clarifying that civil service protections accrued by employees, they can't be taken away, regardless of job type. It also makes clear that policymaking classifications apply to non-career political appointees. Good government groups and activists, they have cheered this change. They viewed cementing federal worker protections as top priority, given that replacing existing government employees with new, more conservative alternatives, it's a key piece of the plan headed by the former Trump administration officials and the Heritage Foundation, which is horrifying, their think tank known as Project 2025. If you're not familiar with Project 2025, educate yourselves. It's horrifying. Mm-hmm. If Trump wins another term, his administration could direct the Office of Personnel Management to draft new rules. But the process takes months and requires detailed explanation on why new regulations would be improvements, potentially allowing for legal challenges to be brought by opponents. But either way, just a mess if this happens.
Yeah, and he'll tank this. It'll take a while, and he'll able to be sued over it, and so it'll be stopped. But let me remind everyone that he can still get rid of employees in the government that he doesn't like by, I don't know, moving their job across the country, forcing them to quit. Because, you know, sometimes I wonder, like, was I what prompted me and some of my friends that were really hard to get rid of? Are we what prompted that Schedule F thing so that he could just fire everybody more easily?
It's hard to know.
All right, next up from Marshall Cohen at CNN. A judge has scheduled a major defamation case against right-wing cable news channel Newsmax to go to trial in late September, putting the battle over 2020 election lies front and center at the peak of the 2024 election. Newsmax and the voting technology company Smartmatic could reach an out-of-court settlement, and further delays are possible, of course. But if the September 24th trial date holds, the fallout from the former guy's attempts to overturn the 2020 election will be on full display as he tries to return to the White House. The Newsmax trial is slated to take place in Delaware Superior Court, and Judge Eric Davis, who, by the way, presided over the historic case brought by Dominion against Fox News last year, is similarly handling the Newsmax Smartmatic lawsuit. So that's the guy who oversaw that, remember, the last minute settlement for $787.5 million.
Absolutely.
Same judge. This case is still in discovery, and it's possible Davis decides later that it shouldn't proceed to trial. That's always a possibility. Smartmatic filed a lawsuit in 2021 claiming that Newsmax intentionally promoted lies, that the company was involved in rigging the election because it helped the network close the ratings gap with Fox. Now, Davis allowed Smartmatic's team to expand the lawsuit last year to cover additional on-air statements from Newsmax hosts and guests that it believes were also defamatory. So that lawsuit got expanded. Owned by a Trump ally named Christopher Reddy, Newsmax isn't a media juggernaut like Fox. The network's lineup features several former Fox personalities like Eric Bolling and Greta Van Susteren, as well as controversial ex-Trump White House official Sebastian Gorka and Clinton ally turned foe Dick Morris. In addition to the Newsmax case, Smartmatic is also suing Fox News, the far fringe cable channel OAN, and Trump allies like Rudy Giuliani and Mike Lindell, who peddled the same election lies. The September trial date was originally set for Newsmax and Dominion, but they're engaged in a separate defamation lawsuit. But there were delays in that case, and that created the opening for the Smartmatic case.
What a mess for all of them. They deserve it.
Yes.
This is from Alex Seitzwald and Ryan Riley at NBC. The campaign for independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., well, it sent out with a fundraising email Thursday referring to January 6 defendants as activists who have been stripped of their constitutional liberties, echoing former President Donald Trump's rhetoric about the 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol. I like that that term was used. In the appeal sent to supporters signed by Team Kennedy, the campaign called for the exoneration of political prisoner Julian Assange, we know that he's the founder of WikiLeaks, which is bizarre that he's calling for that now, suggesting he and January 6 defendants are victims of prosecutorial abuse. Quote, "This is a reality that every American citizen faces, from Ed Snowden to Julian Assange to the January 6th activists sitting in the Washington, D.C. jail stripped of their constitutional liberties. Please help our campaign call out the illiberal actions of our very own government." This is what the fundraising email read. A British court is currently considering whether to extradite Assange, by the way, who is Australian, not American citizen, but they want to extradite him to the United States. Snowden, the former National Security Agency employee who leaked national security secrets, is living in exile in Russia. After publication of this piece, by the way, Kennedy spokesperson Stephanie Speer told NBC News that the language was an error. And quote, "That statement was an error. That does not reflect Mr. Kennedy's views. It was inserted by a new marketing contractor and slipped through the normal approval process." Yep. Trump has called some of his supporters who stormed the Capitol because they believed his lies about the 2020 presidential election hostages and unbelievable patriots who have been mistreated by the justice system. As NBC News reported, there are just 15 January 6 defendants who are currently being held in pretrial detention. Most of them are credibly accused of violence against law enforcement, by the way. For example, to have killed other people in the past, which factored into their detention. Fucking what, AG? One is charged with setting off an explosive in a tunnel full of police officers. One is charged with firing a weapon. One's being charged with conspiracy to kill the FBI employees who worked on the case, a plot that allegedly unfolded after his initial pretrial release. Most of the 29 January 6 defendants currently being held in D.C. jail, they've been convicted. Some are awaiting sentences. Others have been sentenced, but not yet been assigned to a federal prison to serve out their time. So we've got a couple of murderers, a bomb placer. I mean, activists. I would say they're activists when you say activists.
They're peaceful. They were there. They're unbelievable patriots.
Unbelievable. Last year, Kennedy told the Washington Post he would consider pardoning January 6 defendants. Earlier this week, he said on CNN that he could argue President Joe Biden's a bigger threat to democracy than Trump because of how he allegedly censored political critics. I know, though he later said those comments, apparently were also an error by Anute. Just kidding. Comments were taken out of context and that Trump and Biden are both problematic.
He always does that. He's like, I didn't say that all vaccines were bad. And then someone roll the tape. All vaccines are bad. And he's like, oh, you're taking me out of context.
Yeah, he's really good at that. Here's the last quote from the story, by the way. This is, again, from Kennedy. I didn't say definitively whether I believed one or the other was more dangerous for democracy. I did say that I don't believe either of them are going to destroy democracy. That's what he said in an interview on the News Nation Tuesday. And I'll tell you what, I know a lot of Democrats are, some Democrats are really concerned that RFK is going to be taking votes from Democrats. But every time he sends out an email like this about January 6th defendants being activists, it really helps our cause because those are going to be taking Trump votes.
Yeah, or his anti-vax stuff, right?
Absolutely. Like, I don't think independents are going to be swayed by this shit. So the people that are just seeing the last name Kennedy, I hope they're reading this and going, wait a minute, that's not really something that John F. would have said.
Right. His entire family is like, yeah, no, bro. All right. Thanks for that. And wow, we got through it. We got through all the news.
So yeah.
Congratulations. And we still have some good news to get to as my favorite part of the show. If you all have any good news, send it to us at dailybeanspod.com. But right after this break, I'm going to talk to John Fugelsang. So stick around. We'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, have you ever stopped to think about how much of your personal and private information is out there on the internet just for anyone to find? It's probably more than you think. It was more than I thought, and I was worried for my safety. Now, this can include your contact info, home address, social security number, information about your family members, all sorts of stuff. It gets compiled and then sold to the highest bidders by data brokers, making it so anyone on the web can get access to your private information, which can lead to phishing attempts, identity theft, harassment, unwanted spam calls, all sorts of dangerous stuff. That's why I personally use Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that continually monitors and removes your personal information from major online databases to defend against those unauthorized uses and abuses, which helps prevent potential identity theft, doxing, phishing scams, all sorts of just really, really kind of scary things. By proactively deleting your information from people search sites, Delete Me acts as a relentless guardian of your privacy, preventing potential digital threats. And once you sign up and specify the information you want to be removed, Delete Me's specialists diligently work to keep your data private, sending detailed privacy reports, which I love. They describe all the info they've found about me, what sites they found them on, and you know where and it had, like how they removed it, what they took down. And this ensures your digital footprint is minimized. It secures your privacy in the digital realm. Delete Me does all the hard work of wiping out you and your family's personal info on the web, and they tell you how much time they've saved you. So far, they've saved me about 62 hours of personally having to do this myself. This infuriates data brokers that try to sell my information, and it'll infuriate them about your information too. As soon as you sign up, Delete Me immediately goes to work, so your personal profile is no longer up for sale. So take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now, at a special discount for listeners, today get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/dailybeans and use promo code dailybeans at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/dailybeans and enter code dailybeans at checkout. That's joindeleteme, joindeleteme.com/dailybeans. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Friday. That means it's Fugelsang Fridays here on the Daily Beans. And I'm joined by my good friend, host of Tell Me Everything on SiriusXM Progress Channel 127 weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And if you don't have SiriusXM, you can always listen to his podcast for free wherever you get your podcast, The John Fugelsang Show. Please welcome my friend, John Fugelsang.
I'm really just here to sell some Bibles, Allison, but thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Bibles with the Constitution.
Yes.
In there. And the, yeah.
Yeah, that's important. What it's all about. Bibles with the earthly government of men included to improve it. It's a nice enhancement.
Yes. A cross wrapped in a flag, as they have always
finally,
said.
A Bible that bursts into flames when you bring it in a church. It's a wonderful thing.
Oh, well, you know, I think there's going to be a whole big rapture during this eclipse. So that's news. you know, as I've always said, hey, great. The rapture. Free shoes.
Yeah.
But because... I'll be left behind for sure.
Yeah, you know what? I hate to tell you this, but the kind of people who think they're going to be going are the ones who are going to be left behind, if you believe what the character of Jesus says in that book. That's the beautiful thing. The most certain smug motherfuckers are the ones who are going to be left. And ye shall not know the hour nor the day, douchebags. That's Jesus. I translate from the Aramaic. I might get a couple of words wrong, but
yeah. Well, I don't want to go anywhere though. I'm having fun.
Same here. I'd rather stay here and watch them leave.
That would be my choice as well. Take them away, please. As I've long said, if going to heaven means I have to spend eternity with people like Billy Graham, count me out. Anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about today, my friend, is the shady motherfuckers that Trump associates with and how it just continues to bite him in the ass. We now have the New York Attorney General, Tish James in New York, filing an objection to the surety bond backed by Knight Insurance, run by a guy named Hankey, who is considered the king of the subprime used car loan.
Say it slower. It's beautiful. Say it slower, Allison, please.
Which immediately puts him in a great light, right? Because of all those predatory car loans upwards mm-hmm. of... I remember when I was in the Navy, there was a guy like right outside a base being like, hey, you need a car? 30% interest, just awful, horrible, awful predatory.
Better and better all the time that Donald Trump is the victim of a predatory subprime loan guy. It gets more irony is making love to itself right now. Continue.
I have more.
Irony and karma are just having the most beautiful weekend right now in Paris. Go on.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. So, when they initially filed the bond and posted the bond, they failed to put their financial disclosure statements, their financial forms. Knight Insurance failed to include their financial disclosure forms. Wonder why? Well, after the court rejected the bond and said, you need to include these papers, I was like, all right, administrative error. They, just didn't put the papers on there. No, now we know why they didn't put that on there, because they don't have enough cash on hand to cover the bond. The amount of cash they have, liquid cash, is less than the bond. And so now the New York Attorney General has said, I object to this. Now I have a right to ask for more information about what exactly is backing this bond so that I know I can collect when I'm, when I am successful in the appeal process. And now we have 10 days to see what exactly is going on with this money and if it is, in fact, enough to back this bond, and then what happens if it's not.
So what you're saying is, let me translate this to the people who went to public school like me. Way back in the olden days, Monday, when Donald Trump posted his $175 million bond, Ms. Gill, the same day his net worth fell by about $1 million by lunchtime because of his social media company. I hope we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. You're saying to me, Allison, he didn't really post cash for his bond? You're saying that it didn't actually happen because Knight Specialty Insurance Company didn't even bother giving the Attorney General the certificate that they were even qualified to post it? Are you saying to me that this subprime bond company is over-leveraged and doesn't have enough cash to cover the judgment? Because let me say, Donald Trump is furious that people he trusted would overinflate their wealth like that. What kind of a monster overinflates their wealth and their business dealings? That's not fair to Mr. Trump. Oh, it's beautiful. So now I'm guessing, Ms. Gill, thank you for explaining to me nice and slow, that the company that thought they were rescuing him from their from property seizures in the bank fraud case, just to narrow it down, listeners, we're not talking about the other six, is over leveraged, doesn't meet the standards of the state of New York. So his property could be seized potentially extremely soon because he trusted the wrong scummy business people. Is that what you're saying?
I think that is a possibility. I think, probably if the court finds that this company doesn't have the ability to back this bond and rejects the bond, I think they'll probably give Donald Trump maybe another 10 days to come up with somebody else.
Of course they will. The system's built for petulant millionaires at birth who've never had to work a day in their life. It's good they're fair to him. Go on, please.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Give him all the deference in the world, all the chances, all the due process.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, I don't think that he should be treated less fairly. I think everyone else should be treated as fairly.
I think he should be treated as fairly as Khalif Browder was treated at Rikers. But do go on, please.
Right. Or the Pritchard guy who voted illegally 9 times should be treated as well as Crystal Mason was treated when she was charged with a fine. Yeah.
I mean, you have to think about this. Donald Trump is now upgraded to borrowing from people more broke than he is. That's a great sign to me.
Well, he couldn't get, he struggled to get Chubb to back his $91.63 million bond, backed it with a Schwab account, took him a long time, was rejected by 30 other people for this bond, couldn't find a legitimate person to back it, found this guy to back it, a subprime used car sales loan guy. And now it turns out, oh, dun 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 dum, you know, play the Price is Right music when you lose, that this company might not be able to do that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes and what the court decides. But she, Tish James, is exercising her right, New York Attorney General, and the people's right on behalf of the people of New York to see now what exactly is backing this bond, given the fact that they don't have enough cash on hand. And if none of that works, we still get to hear it from Barbara Jones, who is the fiscal babysitter sitting atop the Trump Organization right now, who has now been given the authority to find out exactly all of the conversations he's had, Donald Trump, to justify and secure this bond. Even though the court found it in its heart to lower his bond amount from $464 million to $175 million, it looks like he still couldn't come up with it. And here we are.
Weisselberg has already told them to save his own skin. Let's just pray that Weisselberg. I mean, I'm still holding out for the Weisselberg factor, because that's how deep into this nerd fantasia I dwell. But remember last Friday when they went public, the DJT ticker symbol with the
Trump media? Let's talk about that, because this is an association with some other shady motherfuckers. Several of who have been indicted. Two now, the Schwartzmans, who have pled guilty. And their association with another indicted fellow who happens to be a Russian porn bank operator with ties to Putin.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. The evangelicals eat it up. Eat it up, Allison. I mean, a week ago, when we found out that Trump suddenly increased his net worth by a few billion in one day, and these silly progressives and liberals and anti-evil people were all just gnashing their teeth and tearing their garments in grief. And I was just like, folks. Hang on. Karma plays a long game with this guy. There's no scenario where it ends well for Trump. And I'm going to say again, I think him winning the White House would be worse for him than losing it once more. But like, we find out on Monday, right? It was on Friday that we found out he made billions and now he can afford it. And people were thinking, how is this guy so blessed? The beginning of this week, Ms. Gill, what do we find out? That his media company only pulled in $4 million in revenue last year. With $58 million that they lost, and they value this thing at $10 billion. It made $4 million, lost $58 million, worth $10 billion. It's like catnip for mouth-breathing rubes. And in one day, it wiped out all of its gains from going public. Allison, do you realize Trump's stock tanked? This stock went down so hard. Donald's paying it hush money, okay? This stock is such a disappointment. Donald's calling it Eric now. That's it. This is just one week.
Yeah, I want to change the ticker to Eric, E-R-I-C, instead of DJT, please.
I mean, it's the stupidest pump and dump scheme, because Donald Trump is under all these restrictions of when he can sell after the IPO. And by the time he's allowed to sell it, even if the board, filled with his family and flunkies, gives him permission to sell it sooner, the stock is going to be worthless by then. So if you're just tuning in, the guy who was fired from Celebrity Apprentice for being so racist, he's selling Bibles for $60 each. He goes on trial for bribing the porn star illegally in less than 2 weeks. He's planning a full-scale attack on racism against white people by trying to eliminate every program to help African-Americans or any other minority. Trump media is worthless. He's $500 million in criminal fines, still charged with 88 crimes in four jurisdictions. The big donors aren't showing up. Voters are furious about Roe. Abortion and medical weed are now on the ballot in Florida, meaning the GOP is going to have to spend a lot more money to defend that state than they planned. Republican congressmen are dropping out everywhere, and Trump is now selling sneakers and cologne. That's where we're at right now, right, Ms. Gill? I mean,
that's where we are. And you know, when you just said 88 It charges in four jurisdictions. You know what I thought about? I thought about 88 lines about 44 women. And I think 88 crimes about four jurisdictions would be a really great parody if anybody
who knew knocking off those many charges off the one case would make it so lyrical. And keep in mind, if this sounds like it's really rough for Donald Trump and the GOP, folks, at least his family is openly looting the RNC as we speak, having loyalty oaths and funneling the money into his defense accounts. Because E. Jean Carroll's got to go shopping, and you Republican rubes are going to pay for it.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those other jurisdictions, by the way. First of all, Judge McAfee denied his Trump's motion to dismiss on First Amendment grounds this week or today. Judge Aileen Cannon has denied his Presidential Records Act motion to dismiss, and Judge Mershon in Manhattan DA trial, which is set to start here in, 11 days, he said no immunity yesterday. He ruled no immunity. So that's three big denials.
He got to slow the process down just a little bit. The fascinating thing in New York is seeing how Judge Mershon expanded the gag order. Of course, Donald Trump thinks a gag order is when you pay the escort to make things a little rough. But in reality, he's trying everything he can do to violate it. I mean, since the gag order was expanded, he has posted so many articles and retweeted so many articles on Filth Social showing the judge's wife and daughter. And you know, he's literally in defiance of it because he's hoping he gets punished because that would give him a chance to try to delay. Judge Mershon is going to just be like Rocky and just take the punches for the next 2 weeks because I don't think this judge is going to do anything that would allow this trial to be delayed in any way.
I concur, my friend. That's a good analogy. Take the punches like Rocky. And you know, a lot of times that's why these judges don't apply these gag orders, these limited gag orders, to themselves or to the main prosecutor. For example, Judge Chutkan doesn't apply her limited gag order to herself or to Jack Smith, so that he is free to go after them, and he did again today. But you know, gosh, last week, I think he posted something going after Cassidy Hutchinson, who is a witness in that case, and that seems to violate that gag order. And we haven't seen a motion for a hearing on that. Even though that trial is stayed, she still has jurisdiction to address those issues along with bail conditions. But so much deference.
He's doing anything. He's going to do or say anything and risk getting in worse trouble because, A, he knows no one's going to revoke his bail and put him in jail. He knows it. No judge will do that. He'll try to claim that some executive privilege. He'll fundraise off of it so extremely. If Donald Trump did 48 hours in jail, can you imagine the cash haul he would have? These judges are going to just try to let him throw their... He's going to throw tomatoes at him and heckle them and be a little petulant bitch. And they're going to make sure the trial start on time. Except, of course, for Aileen Cannon. Because only in America can a millionaire at birth criminal defendant hire his own judge. And it looks like she's trying to get thrown off the case or something. I mean, it's at first I thought she was just trying really hard to be on the Supreme Court. Now, I mean, Jack Smith is creating a paper trail of incompetence or worse on her part. It's going to be very interesting seeing how that one plays out.
Yeah, I agree. I think that with her denial here of the motion to dismiss on the Presidential Records Act, I don't know that he'll go to the 11th Circuit right now, but I think he'll file a motion in limine to preclude Donald Trump from making the PRA argument at trial.
You're right.
If she denies that, perhaps he could appeal and make sure that he gets a ruling on whether or not she's going to allow her bizarre jury instructions to come up after the jury is seated, which is when double jeopardy attaches. But he can also ask for a writ of mandamus during the trial and halt all the proceedings there.
Oh, I've had to learn so much about a writ of mandamus this week. I thought that was something from the Dark Crystal. I've had to really educate myself a bit on that one.
It does sound like a Jim Henson thing.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate your time, as always, and your humor and your insights. And you can get more of it, everybody, by listening to the Tell Me Everything show on Sirius XM Progress Channel 127. Again, that's weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, or as I said, for free, the John Fugelsang Show podcast, wherever you get your pods. It's been wonderful to see you again, my friend. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
You are the best, Ms. Gill. I can't wait to see what happens. It's a really exciting time to not check out of politics. Thanks for what you do.
That's why I hope we don't get raptured next week in 4 days. And,
my tour starts next week. The Sexy Liberal Tour with Stephanie Miller resumes in Minneapolis at the Pantages Theater on next Saturday. So if you're in the Midwest, come on down.
Yeah, absolutely. Minneapolis is such a great town. Wonderful great. People. I've had such a good time doing live shows there, and I know that you'll kill it. So thank you so much, everybody. Stick around. We'll be right back with the good news. Everybody, welcome back. It's time for the good news. And if you have any good news, confessions, corrections, you want to play What the Mutt, Find the Cat, Opine on the Bovine, What the Heckwine, What the Hell is in That Shell, What's the Model of Your Oxalotl, What the Fark is in Your Ark, any animal picture, draw it, take it, send it, get it off the web, send it to us. We'll try to guess what it is. That's about the best we can do.
And really, it is the best we can do these days.
It truly is. Let's see if you have dissertation or thesis titles. I love those. I love to read those. Dana, you love baby pictures. Everyone send
of
in.
Any kind, animals or humankind.
Yes, send in your baby. Send baby photos of you. We would love to see our leguminati as babies. Student debt relief stories are incredible. Whoopee stories, blanky stories, stuffy stories. What else? Shout out to a small business, self shout outs, shout out to a loved one. Shit kids say, if you don't have pod pet tax to pay, you can send us an adoptable pet in your area and we'll try to find a forever home for them. Anything at all, send it to us at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. All right, first up, submission from Jeff, pronouns he and him. April 2nd, 2024 was local election day in Republican-dominated Missouri, but voters in the St. Louis metro area pushed back against MAGA-inspired school board candidates decrying woke school policies. All 13 conservative school board candidates endorsed by a local right-wing radio host lost.
Fantastic.
This includes in conservative suburban St. Charles County, which voted for Trump 58-40 in 2020.
Wow.
So happy to see voters see through this bullshit. And it gives me hope that in November of 2024, there'll be an even bigger Biden victory than in 2020. Jeff?
I would love to see it.
Me too.
Thank you so much. This is from Tim, pronouns he and him. Hi, AG and DG. I want to give a shout out to my amazing roommate, Dina. When I lucked into moving in with her 2 years ago, I was in a dark place. Student loan debt, low self-esteem had kept me in a deep depression for over a decade. But since I've met Dina, she has been such a warm, genuine, caring presence in my life that I finally feel safe and it feels so good. I make sure to tell her as much as possible that it never hurts to tell the important people in your life how much they mean to you. Mm. For Pod Pet Tax, here's our other roommate, Lilu. Probably not hard to guess what she is. P.S. I just became a patron today. Thanks for all you do, MSW Media, and keep fighting the good fight. Oh, look how cute.
That I'm going to go out on a limb and say Golden Retriever.
I'm going to say you're right.
There's no answer, so I'm going to say we're right. I like my confidence now is like it could be the goldenest Golden Retriever you've ever seen. And I'd be like, might be some chow chow in there. I'm not sure.
I know, me too, which is really because in my head, I'm like, is it golden though? Is there another kind of retriever?
Am I being tricked? Am I being punked?
Uh-huh. Is it an auburn retriever? It looks more like an auburn retriever.
Is it some sort of strange hound that I've never heard of?
Strange hound? Is it a hound?
Hound dog. All right. Next up from Jules in DC. Hello, lovely ladies of the Lagoon. I love your show and how you help keep me and all your listeners informed and offer us some sanity in this nut job of a world. I'm offering up some pure good news for anyone in the DC region that loves art. Right now, until April 28th, the largest art show I've ever seen is happening downtown. Art-O-Matic, artomatic.org. Started in the late 90s, and it only happens every few years. They find either a brand new building that is not yet occupied or an older building about to be repurposed, and they fill it with art. It's all local artists. Most also sell their art. None of it is curated. So it's literally everything and the kitchen sink. Some is awful. Some should be in museums. Yet art being subjective, what I think is awful is someone else's Michelangelo. And that's what I love about art. And the fact that this show is so open and the art is not limited by a curator's opinion. The artists pay for the space and also make up for all the volunteers that run the show. The show is completely free, So it's great if you're on a budget and looking for something to do. The show is at 2100 M Street Northwest. M as in Mary. That's DC. And it fills the entire 8-story building.
Wow. I love that.
I've gone twice and spent about 3 hours there each time and still have only made it through the first 4 floors. There's live performances, craft workshops, etc. There is a full events calendar on their website at artomatic.org. Several floors have bars where you can pick up some snacks and drinks and wine, etc. So that means I'll be going, it'll be ongoing when you're in DC.
Oh.
For the MSW Media Gala. Just saying. Attaching a few random pictures of the many that I took. Thanks again for doing what you do. Much love to you and Leguminati. Jules, that is a beautiful statement about the subjectivity of art. Thank you.
Yeah, that's incredible. You have to check it out while you're there, AG.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that, Jules.
Yeah. Up, swoop, 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 swoops. Up next.
You want me to take it out or leave it in?
Leave it in. This is what happens, people. Up next from Anonymous. Pronoun she and her. Hi, now I have the giggles. Not sure. Maybe we should edit out. Okay. Nah. Hi, AG and DG. As a follow-up to those Leguminati who wrote in about their great work being done by Democrats abroad, here's my son putting in my ballot in the box in the Democrat global presidential primary. I filled in the info and he enthusiastically checked the box for Joe Biden. Seriously, he pressed the pen so hard. I'm sure he left a mark on the wooden table. He shook hands with the volunteers who were so kind. They asked him when he would be old enough to vote, and he complained that it wouldn't be until 2029. They mentioned that he could still volunteer as a teenager, and he looked interested. My rambling point, take your kids with you to vote. If you can, and if you're allowed water or snacks while waiting, instill in them any interest in civics, and hopefully that seed you plant will grow as much as your kid does. Much love to all y'all.
That's really great advice. Take your kids with you to vote. My mom dragged me to the voting booth so many times. I think I've told this story on this show. Mm-hmm. I know I've told it other places, but really shaped my view of patriotism, voting, civic duty. She would stand there. And like I said, this was back when the voting booths were made of wood and they had cloth curtains with metal rings. Everything was substantial and beefy and had heft. And I'm just a little kid. She'd look at me and she'd be like, voting is really important. In there, nobody can tell me what to do. And that sticks with me. And then my mom went on to be a county recorder. She's worked many campaigns over her lifetime. It's just really instilled that into me. So, and I can see the excitement on this kid's face, and it will be there on your kid's face as well. Thank you for that. Next up, Dustin, pronouns he and him. Hi, Beans Queens. Thanks for everything you do to keep us informed about the news. The occasional swear word actually makes the news more relatable. Yeah, what do we say, Dana? We make it bearable by making it swearable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to share a picture of the two cutest cats we adopted. My partner and I have been together for about 7 years now, and on a whim, we decided to visit the San Diego Humane Society. By the way, Dustin, San Diego Humane Society, 2 enthusiastic thumbs up. I love that place. Let's just say it was a good mistake. We ended up adopting 2 adorable cats, although we unknowingly brought them home. We brought home some health challenges. It must be a sign that these two were meant to be ours. Leo, whose adopted name is Leopoldo, has an enlarged heart, some bad teeth. He only has a few left. Allergies to chicken, which is in most cat foods, and IBS. Riley, our precious angel baby, has asthma. Thankfully, with a very small dose of steroids each day, she hasn't had an attack in months. Did I mention both my partner and I, along with Leo, are Aries? Our precious angel, however, is a Cancer. All she wants is love from her brother, but true to Aries' form, he wants nothing to do with cuddles. Aww. By the way, I heard you talking about the capybaras at the San Diego Zoo. Not only is it the best zoo in the world, I agree, but it's also where I work. If you're ever at the zoo, please let me know. I'd love to say hi. Also, if there's ever a chance you bring your Daily Beans tour to San Diego, I would love it. Thanks for all you do. And Dustin, I have some very good friends who work at the San Diego Zoo. My friend BJ plays guitar and does stuff and has shows. And I had a bunch of friends who also worked at SeaWorld. Like, I've been here for like almost 30 years, so it's bound to happen, right? But yeah, San Diego Zoo is great. Look at these babies.
Oh,
the second picture.
Second picture. Oh my God, the third picture.
The second picture of the cat's like, I'm not. Yeah, you're right. Aries, true to form, not having it. What a babies. Thank you for that.
All right. This is from, I believe, Eric. Pronouns he and him. Hi, AG and DG. I'm not an astrophysicist, but I am a nurse. Please, please don't put Mercury in Uranus.
Now that you're a nurse, yeah.
Sorry. I'll leave the comedy to you. Actually, I don't think you should, Eric. That was a fantastic way to start the submission.
No, send in things you find in people's butts. Send it in.
Oh, God. I had a friend that worked in the emergency room. Yeah, the stories. One guy used to put a plastic peach up his ass. He loved putting plastic fruit up his butt, but he always used one that had a leaf, and so it would get stuck. And every time they got it out in the emergency room, he would go, can I have my peach back? And everyone give him his peach back. And my friend T looked at them and said, no, use a different fruit. You cannot have your peach back.
Or just like
use a banana or something without a leaf if this is your thing.
Okay, send us those. I would love that for good news.
Oh, God, so good. Okay, back to Eric. Whoops. A misheard lyric. Here's a misheard lyric and stuff kids say. I was an 80s kid, which meant Olivia Newton-John's Let's Get Physical was on the radio. As a kid, I misheard the lyric, Let Me Hear Your Body Talk, thinking it said, Let Me Hear Your Belly Talk. I remember my mom and I having conversations about what talking bellies would say. That's actually very cute. Here's Paupette Tax. We were fostering this fine hunk of cat and decided to adopt him. You can tell from the picture that he is thrilled. Moose is a playful 13, is deeply offended by bananas. He's hilarious. Our other cat, Bootsy, who has been on the good news before, also a foster fail, rather likes his new brother, even if he doesn't show it. Did I make it up somewhere that I saw a video that a lot of cats are afraid of bananas?
Bananas and cucumbers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought my brain went, wait, I've heard that somewhere else.
Yep. Yep.
Wonder
You're
why.
Not wrong. You're not wrong. These are adorable cats. Thank you for sending this in. And seriously, if you're an ER nurse,
please. Oh my God, it would make us so happy.
Send in your stories. Next up, Gail B5 Raven. So happy to hear about everyone's eclipse plans. I used to teach astronomy. For this coming event, we have plans to get the whole fam Danley together. My daughter has reserved a house in the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, just south of Cleveland, right in the path of totality. She and family, including my two granddaughters, aged 8 and 3, are flying there from North Virginia. My other daughter is flying out from Seattle to Detroit with 4 of us driving the rental from there. Daughter, her husband, stepdad, and me. Allison, Dana, this is so amazing for me for several reasons. First, and most exciting, is that it'll be the first time that all of us have been together since September of 2016.
Wow.
I'm over the moon in anticipation. Second, I used to teach astronomy at NMSU Carlsbad, but have never been able to be there for the total eclipse. Back in 91, the girl's father got to go to the event on the Baja Peninsula in Mexico as part of the University of Arizona-sponsored expedition with his mom and brother, while I stayed home to take care of the girls. As a result, I made him do twice-a-year slide presentations about the eclipse at my classes. Only fair, right? I think so. At last, it's my turn. Yes, I know that Cleveland and the nearby Lake Erie and all the moisture and clouds may ultimately be a major problem. I'm hoping that karma will be on our side and give us a great view. Either way, I get to have my bi-coastal family all together, so I just can't wait. And remember, all my beans buddies, after the eclipse, make sure that you are ready to enjoy your post-corona corona. Sorry, science teachers are known for their very bad puns. Photo submission is my two granddaughters from this past Halloween as Princess Peach and an adorable bumblebee.
Oh,
look how adorable. Look at that bumblebee.
It's also a really cool picture.
Yeah.
Of this kid levitating.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, the bumblebee. I think I have a photo that looks a lot like that, except I'm wearing a soccer jersey.
Gail, I took astronomy at Northern Arizona University, mostly because the Lowell Observatory is there and the lab, you know how when you take a science, you have a lab? The lab was to get to go to the telescope and look at the stars. And I thought, oh, this would be cool. I'll just be looking at stars. Astronomy was the hardest fucking class I ever took in my whole life, dude. It was so hard, that class, that I ended up getting an incomplete. It is the only class in my whole life that I could never finish. I absolutely loved it. And our professor was great. He was like one of those mad scientist guys with like balding on top, but big red poofy hair on the bottom. And like the opening of class was like, he put a basketball on the counter, on the, you know, his little counter, his little, I guess, desk. And he's like, if this were the sun, he goes, Pluto would be a piece of millet out by the student union. And we're like, okay. And then he talked about how he was really into Mars.
I love that your professor was Billy Crystal in The Princess Bride. If this
yeah, he was.
If this was a basketball.
It's only mostly Pluto. No, but he... and Pluto's a big deal in Flagstaff, right? Because Lowell, who the Lowell Observatory is named after, discovered Pluto. But we're there, and he's talking about Mars. He loves Mars. He's got his big red poofy hair, and it's bouncing around because he's animated and excited. He's like, oh, you have to go look at Mars right now. It'll knock your socks off. Oh, he was just so fucking fantastic. And I hated that I couldn't finish the class, but it was just way so far above my little freshman head, all that astronomy math. But thank you so much for that. The eclipse is going to be absolutely fantastic. Everybody, send your good news to us, dailybeanspod.com, and click on contact. Dana, do you have any final thoughts before we head out for the weekend?
I don't think I do. I really don't.
Congratulations on getting through this really long and very newsy show.
I will say, I am going to be in Houston this weekend for an HRC gala. If you are in Houston and you are a Beans listener and you happen to be at the HRC gala, try and find me. I know it's possible because we keep getting submissions afterwards that like, we were there and we couldn't find you. Just try. I would love to meet Beans listeners. And if there's people around me and you're like, oh, I don't want to interrupt. Interrupt, because more than likely I'm having small talk with someone I don't know.
Rescue Dana.
Please, we'll get a safe word. It should be Beans.
Beans, you just hear, walk up. Beans?
Just be like, Dana, did you need any beans? I'll be like, yes, I do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You'd be like, excuse me, I have something of important Beans precedent to discuss. And then you can, you know, leave the conversation.
Yeah, I discuss with my best friends that if I look like I need help, to walk up and go, Dana, do you have any chapstick? Or Dana, I'll be like, I actually don't. Or reverse, Dana, do you need chapstick? And I'll be like, no, I'm good. Or yeah, I do.
Fantastic. I like how there's
just
a yes
one
or no.
Word. Yeah.
Right. That's good. That's a good plan.
It's really hard to slip in the word pineapple randomly in a sentence. Being like, yeah, do you smell pineapple?
When I was younger, my girlfriends and I would have signals at bars like, this guy is bugging me, come rescue me or whatever, you know, that whole thing among girls. And we would be like all covert about it. But now, like if we're at a bar and somebody's messing, we'd just walk up and say, hey, step away from that guy and come here right now because he sucks. And, you know, we'll just, like, it's no longer.
No longer code.
Yeah, there's no longer like a little high sign that you have to give to your friend. It's just like, hey, come with me. Get the fuck away from that guy. It's pretty fun. Yeah. And I'm sure that works with any gender. You know,
absolutely.
For me and my girlfriends.
Aggressive ladies out there, too.
all sorts of aggressive people. Anyway, thank you, everybody. We will see you, of course, on Monday. We'll be in your ears. There's going to be a new episode of the Jack Podcast, which you do not want to miss this weekend, I promise. And of course, the cleanup bonus for patrons will be coming out shortly.
And on Monday, I guarantee I'm going to be a little chatty about whatever happens in the Final Four and the Women's National Championship.
And I look
just
forward
so you
to
know.
It. I look forward to it. Everybody, until then, please take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Take care of the planet. Take care of your mental health. Take care of your family. Vote blue over Q.
And please take everyone you know with you.
I've been AG.
And I've been DG.
And them's the Beans. The Daily Beans is written and executive produced by Allison Gill, with additional research and reporting by Dana Goldberg. Sound design and editing is by Desiree McFarlane, with art and web design by Joelle Reeder with Moxie Design Studios. Music for The Daily Beans is written and performed by They Might Be Giants, and the show is a proud member of the MSW Media Network, a collection of creator-owned podcasts dedicated to news, politics, and justice. For more information, please visit mswmedia.com. MSW Media.
I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money that'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, "Show me in a courtroom how we were at war."
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing in the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, "If I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized."
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.